at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, please, and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Let's read together now. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to hear the word of God preached in this room. And all through our church today, there's preaching of the word of God to every age. God bless the preaching of the word of God today. Use it mightily. If there's a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would trust Christ through the preaching of God's word. Help us today. Do a work in our hearts in this room. Help us to be obedient to thy word as it is preached in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask you, especially this morning, that you sit and listen very carefully today. I need you to keep your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, please. I'll ask you also to make sure all your electronic devices are turned to vibrate or off or whatever is necessary for them to not make any noise during the preaching service. And also not to get up and go out unless you have a medical reason why you would need to. Some of our folks may, and that's perfectly all right for medical reasons. Other than that, no one else, please. Because I'm going to give you a test this morning. And it's not going to be a letter grade. The difference is going to be heaven and hell. The test is in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. If you'll notice in that verse, there's three words that stand out. The word examine, the word prove, and the word know. And then there's three other words that go with them, and it's the word yourselves. You see it? Three times. Look at the verse again. It says, follow carefully, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now look at me. He's talking to a church here, like this church, Bible-believing church, gospel-preaching church. That's what Corinth was. And he's concluding the second letter to these Corinthians with a test. He says, you know what you need to do, you church-going people? You need to examine yourselves, whether you're in the faith or not. You need to prove your own selves. You need to know your own selves that you're in Christ. He's not preaching to lost people now. He's talking to Christian folks. He's talking to church people. I am convinced, dear people, with every fiber in my being, that a vast majority of people who profess to be Christians are not. And it's not because of their life. It's because something has happened to the preaching of the gospel across this land, and it has affected us for so long that we have so many people who have no biblical testimony of salvation, but they're certain that they're saved. Now, if you ever listen to a sermon this morning, this is it right here, because this is heaven and hell. And it's a test that's to be given to church-going people. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, come on, that would seem to be kind of peculiar that you would think you'd be asking church-going people to check and make sure that they're saved. I mean, come on. Let's see. Was it peculiar to you that Judas Iscariot went everywhere the disciples went for 3.5 years with Christ, and the night before Jesus was to be crucified, he told his disciples, one of you right now, one of you tonight is going to betray me? They all jumped up at the Lord's Supper and pointed down to the end of the table at Judas and said, it's that guy right down there. We knew it all along, didn't they? They had no idea. You know what's sadder still? As each of them came by and took Jesus by the hand and said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Judas himself, already with treachery in his heart, a lost man who did everything everyone else did and had everyone convinced, took Jesus by the hand and said, is it me? He had convinced himself everything was all right. Listen to me this morning. Please listen. But isn't it peculiar, Pastor Johnson, that he would write to these Corinthian Christians, these church people, and ask them to check their salvation? No, it's not peculiar. There's a parable Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13 about the wheat and the tares. How a man planted wheat in his field, and at night an enemy came and planted tare among the wheat, the Bible says. Farmers call it cheat. It looks just like wheat until it gets to crop, till it gets to fullness, till it gets to ripeness, and begins the wheat, it begins to bend. It looks different. Then it stands out. And when this enemy came and sowed tare among the wheat, when they saw it coming up, the men who tended the field said, "Master, we need to go and pull that wheat out, pull the tare out from the wheat." And the master said, "No, leave it till harvest time. We'll separate it then." It's a parable of how that there are people who look just like Christians, act just like Christians, talk just like Christians, walk just like Christians, and they're not Christians. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 to 23. He said, "Many will come to me in that day and say, 'Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name?' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.'" Judgment day, and people who were church going, works filled Christians wind up in being sent away from God. One more. In that list of people who wind up in hell in Revelation 21 and verse number 8, it lists whoremongers and murderers and all these awful people. First two crowd on that list are fearful and unbelieving. Fearful. Not just people who've been scared, people who are afraid of something. More fearful of what people think than what God knows. First one on the list. I mean, whoremongers, adulterers, sorcerers, and murderers, all those people, they're down on the list. The first one is somebody who's more afraid of what people think than what God knows. They wind up in hell too. Because they hear a message like this and they go, I've got to be saved. Now, you better listen to this preacher this morning. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to shake anybody this morning. But I am also thoroughly convinced to my soul that when Jesus told the parable of the wheat, the sower and the seed, and how the man went out and sowed seed in the field, and some seed fell on hard soil, and some seed fell in thorny soil, and some seed fell in soil that had weeds and thorns and thistles in it and things. Some of it fell in good soil. How that seed is the word of God and the gospel, and the sower is the soul winner and God, and how the soil are the four different kinds of people who hear the word of God. Only one of the four bore fruit. That means 25% of professing Christians are actually born again Christians. Now, that's a frightening thought today. See, I only have one great fear in my life. Well, I have two great fears. One is that I'll disqualify myself one day and wind up like several of my family members who can no longer run their race. And number two, I fear pastoring people who wind up in hell. When I preach the gospel to people and they don't respond, that's one thing. I fear that if I don't make the gospel clear enough, there are people who will sit under the sound of the voice of this preacher week in and week out, and when the day of judgment comes, they're separated from God forever in hell. Sometimes you may think, well, Pastor Johnson, why do you have to be so blunt about the gospel and so straight out about the gospel? And why do you have to be so particular about the gospel? I'm not trying to make it complicated. I'm not trying to make it difficult. But I want you to understand, my dear friend, it is possible. Not by accident, but deliberate and on purpose. It is possible to be a member of Shasta Baptist Church and wind up in hell also. So we're going to take a test this morning, and you, and it says three times, your own selves. You need to take the test for yourself. Don't hold it up against anything else. Don't hold it up against anybody else. Don't think about another person in this room this morning. You hold it up to yourself today. Take the test. Number one question in the test is, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. The word examine means take a close and careful look at your testimony. Listen now, your testimony, how you say you've been born again, how you say that you're a saved person. Examine yourselves today. Number one, do you have one? Do you have a testimony? Is there a distinct and particular and specific event in your life where you remember accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Listen now, a separate of baptism, separate of church works, separate of anything else, you and God, you realizing you were lost, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I got saved when I was 9. I'm not exactly sure I was 9 years of age. I know I was a boy. I was in church. I heard the gospel. I was under conviction. I wanted to get saved. I didn't want to go to hell. I know I needed to trust Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. And I did. I know I did that. Examine yourselves. You, yourself, do you have that testimony this morning? Is it clear that you have done what the Bible says you should do? If you examine yourselves this morning, then examine yourself in this area also. Is your testimony biblical? See, we've got this experiential Christianity going around today, and people having all kinds of experiences with God. And I don't doubt, my friend, I don't doubt at all. I know the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't doubt but that God works in a lost person's heart to get them to wake up to their need of salvation. I don't doubt that God doesn't reach down and just shake their lives, rock their world. I mean, yank the rug out from underneath their feet to get them to wake up. But a wake up is not salvation. Well, I know I got saved because I prayed and God answered my prayer. That is not salvation. Salvation is you, my dear friends. You have a biblical testimony. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Do you remember that you trusted Christ? You realized what salvation was, that it was Jesus coming and dying for you to pay for your sins. He rose from the grave for you to give you eternal life, and you put your faith and trust in Him. Is it biblical? What you have, is it in the Word of God? Or is it in some emotional thing you've had? Some experience that you've known? Oh, I'm sure I got it fixed somewhere down the road thing. My friend, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. And He gave the analogy of physical birth to spiritual birth. No woman carrying a child says, well, I'm sure it'll have that baby someday. No one that's born into this life says, I'm sure I had a birthday somewhere. No, there was an event. There's a moment, friends. You came forth into this life. And if you are spiritually born again, you have the same event. Do you have a biblical testimony? Examine yourselves this morning. Is it biblical? Is it according to God's Word? Or would you have to say this morning, it's close, but you're just not sure? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Got it settled? Question 2. Prove your own selves. See that verse, that statement in the verse? Prove your own selves. Prove means put yourself to careful scrutiny. Listen now, listen. Is your salvation proven by a clear remembrance of making a definite decision to accept Christ? Or do you have to convince yourself that you're saved? Because you do what saved people do. Well, I must be saved. I love God. I must be saved. I mean, I want to go to church. There are a lot of evidences in the Bible that prove that you're a child of God. The book of 1 John is an excellent book on that. And it'll give you evidence after evidence after evidence of the things that should be coming out of a Christian's life. But now you listen to the statement. Please listen very carefully. Too many have the proof of living like a Christian instead of becoming a Christian and then living like it. Prove your own selves. I'm sure I got that straightened out, Pastor. I mean, come on, I've been in church 40 years. I know I got it fixed somewhere down the road. You know what most people do today? Well, I'm sure you did too. Interesting. Not when the Bible says there is the moment, there is an event, there is a time, there is a place there is a realization in your heart where you knew you were lost and you trusted. I'm not making salvation complicated this morning. I'm telling you today that the easiest thing on this planet is for a person to be born again. I'm not adding any kind of works to salvation. I don't believe in lordship salvation or the other garbage. No, sir. You get saved as a sinner, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. The moment you trust Him, God saves you. That moment, that instant. Because the work of salvation is done by Christ. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died a vicarious death. He rose from the grave. He ascended back to the Father. He ever lived to make intercession for us. He's done the hard part of salvation. And He has left us the simple part. But that simple part must be yours. Prove your own selves. Look at your life this morning. Listen, now listen to me one more time. Is your proof of salvation that you live the Christian life? That makes you a Christian? I must be a Christian. I do what Christians do. Or is your proof this morning, I became a Christian, I trusted Christ, I got saved, and thereafter I live a Christian life. Listen now, 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In Christ first, new creature second. I'm hearing people all over the place now telling me, well, I mean, I'm not sure if it ever happened to me, but I tell you what, I must have got it fixed because, I mean, my life changed. There are people in all kinds of programs today have nothing to do with God. You don't think a Muslim's life has changed by embracing the pillars of Islam? Huh? Making Hajj in their lifetime where they travel to the sacred places? They have washings. They have fastings. You tell me a Muslim doesn't have his life changed? You tell me a Buddhist doesn't have their life changed? Following the principles of the Buddha. That Hindus do not have their life changed by following Hinduism and the philosophy of a religion of 330 million gods? You tell me their life's not changed? I saw them in India. I saw them kneeling in rice paddies on rough concrete slabs, bowing down to a little statue of an idol somewhere and praying for enough rice to live by. You're going to tell me that life was not changed because of the way they lived it? Of course it was. Pastor Johnson, you endorse in other religions? I'm telling you that changed life is not the proof. You come to Christ, then He changes your life. Are you in Christ? That's the key. Prove your own selves. Got it settled? Examine yourselves whether you've been to faith. Prove your own selves, the Bible says. Third word, look at it. It says the word know, but notice how it words it, please. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Know. That word know means know for certain. That word know means know without a shadow of a doubt. That word know means to know by marking something and it never changes. I know that's Mount Shasta. I know that's Mount Shasta. That mountain does not move. That mountain will not move. I know that's Mount Shasta. I know it. It's a set place in the geography of the creation of Almighty God. I know it's so. The Bible says you need to know yourself. But now wait a minute. Listen now. We can convince ourselves of all sorts of things, can't we? But this knowing here is not you convincing yourself. This knowing is God making certain that you do know. Go to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you. Romans chapter 8, please, and look at verse number 16. I know people who are convinced. I mean thoroughly convinced. Without a shadow of a doubt, they are settled in their mind. I witness to them. I take out a track. I say, if I could take a moment and show you how you could know for sure you could go to heaven, would you take a moment and just look at this, please? And they say, I don't need to. I got it settled. I got baptized. I got it settled. I'm a member of this church. I got it settled. I had an experience with God. I got it settled. And they know that they know, but they are deceived in what they know. The know of this verse here is God letting you know. See, look at me, friend. There's something unmistakable. There's something very clear about the fact that when you're a child of God, God lets you know you are. Look at Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are, the Bible says, the children of God. Look at me, friend. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. That's a real person. That's not an entity. That's not a thing. That's a somebody. John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus repeatedly gave a personage to the person of the Holy Spirit, calling him he, not it. Now it says it here because the word's gender neutral in the Greek, so they stayed true to the translation. But it refers to the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's God saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, you are born again. A confirmation of the person of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. That's God letting you know you're saved. Not some spiritual thing where you roll around the ground, spit BBs, and bark like dogs and cluck like chickens, friends. This has to do with the real work of the person of the Holy Spirit, assuring your spirit that you are a child of God. That's God letting you know from God's side, giving you assurance. God lets you know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We know because we did what the Bible says. The Scripture told me I was lost and I trusted the Bible. That's why you don't, look at me, that's why you don't get saved side and separate of this book. That's why you don't get saved side and separate of just some event or experience in your life. You get saved because somewhere along the way somebody's explained to you from this book what salvation is. That book right there lets you know you were a sinner and you needed a Savior and you trusted Christ. Because these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. See, the book gives you assurance. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, that's all from God's side assuring us that we can know that we're saved. Do Christians ever doubt their salvation? Of course. But only because our life is not right. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You get very far from God, you never get far from your salvation, but you can certainly get far from the assurance of it. But once you get right with God, you know what he does? Reassures you once again, yep, you're saved. 10 years out of the will of God I spent in my life. When I got right with God, the first thing I thought to myself was, how could I have been saved and lived out of the will of God like that for 10 years? One thing I could not get away from was this. God assured me in my heart that I was saved. God did. I didn't have to convince myself. God did. I didn't have to talk myself into it. God did. I didn't have to reassure my mind. God did. I didn't have to give myself a little speech. Well, let's see, I must have been saved because grandma said I did so-and-so when I was a kid. Your own selves. Be sure your own selves, the Bible says. Otherwise, it says we're reprobates. Reprobate means unable to contain the knowledge of the truth. That's such a strong word in the Bible. Reprobate means someone who knew the truth and refused to accept it. Read Romans 1. God started about verse 14 and go to the end of the chapter. People are reprobate in their life because God gives them over. Why in the world would God do that? Because they sit in church and go, well, I'm not, I mean, come on, I've been around here a long time. I'm not messing with anything now. Oh, we better mess with something. Pastor Johnson, you're trying to shake me up this morning. See, all this message should do to a saved person is just put one more nail in the assurance. That's right, I'm saved. That's good. Is there something troubling you today? Examine yourselves. What is your testimony? Do you have one? Is it biblical? Is it according to God's word? Prove your own selves. Put it to the test. Check it now. Put very careful scrutiny upon your testimony of salvation today, friend. Did you do what the Bible says? Do you have a clear remembrance in your mind, look here, where you can think back to a moment in time where you trusted Christ as your Savior and you know you settled it then? And do you know, because it's God who has confirmed it to your heart. You know, because the Spirit itself bears witness right now with your spirit, I'm a child of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And he did what the Bible said, assurance from the Word of God. It's God letting you know. See, he does not want you to miss heaven, and he does not want you to take another opportunity to settle this thing in your mind and quit fooling around with this thing about salvation. I am convinced that many of these local little sweet pea reverends we got nowadays, we're making a gospel with no conviction and no conversion in it, palatable to people, and tickling their ears and sending them straight to hell. I'm convinced these little smiley reverends are going to have an awful day of examination to come for them. But I'm also convinced this morning this, not you. I may not have all the polish of reverence, but I'm going to tell you something. I hope I made things very clear this morning. And you either leave today and you know, or there's something not right and you need to settle it now. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.